The Cairo Stone by J.M. Barrie. Copyright 2019. This narration is a guide of production. Copyright 2020 and read by Sylvia Loveridge.
Prologue. Beneath the surface of an ordinary land, another world was spinning. The two realms, different as night and day, existed side by side. In one, people lived simply, farming and keeping the customs of their ancestors. In the other, visitors from another galaxy lived at the bottom of the sea in a state of crystalline elegance, where time stood still, until the arrival of the Yedic. Evanor speaks.
I am not from here, or at least that is what I've been told. My people came from a distant star long ago. Our mission was simple: find water. Discovering this planet, we drove our airships deep into the ocean floor. There we built a colony to study the life of the sea. That peaceable existence was the only one I knew. Our world was an elegant construct where time stood still. And living in a nexus of research and invention, we thrived.
Chapter 1, Obsidian. Daylight never penetrated the walls of the glass pyramid that sat on the ocean floor. The structure appeared deceptively fragile, made from sheets of obsidian that leaned in, like a house of cards of uncertain balance. Lone creatures of the deep slid through beds of high-reaching kelp and were mirrored back in the dark glass. The pyramid's faceted surface sent reflections splintering off in every direction, making the massive structure nearly invisible. This underworld was an enigma to any onlooker. The new frontier stretched out far and wide, but it was difficult to detect. The colony spanned the ocean floor with long corridors like the arms of a giant starfish, half buried in the sand. Linking together the many research laboratories was a solid state matrix brain. Its purpose? To collect data on the life of the sea. A quantum lab was situated at the base of the pyramid. There, zero-point energy gave life to an underwater population without upsetting the planet's ecology. The buildings were no feat of human engineering, but built by a team of tireless robotic workers. These mechanized talismen stood upright on bodies of blue chrome to serve the Urisi, who had traveled so far to make the ocean their home. From down the length of a dark corridor came the sound of heavy breathing. Arms pumped, synchronized with long strides of athletic legs. Two hands, ghostly white, cut the air with mechanical precision. Protruding from the collar was an even whiter neck and head. The figure wore a sleek second skin of black, making the stark head and hands appear disembodied in the dark. The fleeting apparition disappeared down the dimly lit corridor. Her suit was made of nautiline, a high-grade polymer, custom-fitted with thousands of nanocomputers. Pressure gauges printed into the material controlled airflow and body temperature, allowing for peak physical performance. This was an outfit that would have pleased an Olympian. Fusion propulsion built into the soles of her boots allowed for fluid locomotion. Her feet never touched the ground. Like a skater on black ice, the Wraith sailed through the vacant corridors, just a blur in the darkness. Illuminated by the narrow beam of a headlamp, the slim figure moved swiftly, tripping sensors in the floor that lit her energetic wake. With a smooth, even glide, she covered great lengths of the sleek hall. In the quietude, she was all alone, except for her twin reflected in the polished floor, hanging close at her heels, as if trapped in a parallel dimension. Like a dark flame, she flickered against the dimly lit connector tube. The skin of her suit acted as a chameleon, absorbing all surrounding colour. She turned sharply left then right, and disappeared into the restricted area. Breaking her stride for only a second, she cleared the security scan. A series of beeps sounded as the doors of the glass elevator slid open. The elevator dropped and she began the smooth descent, 1,000 floors to the base of the pyramid. The first 100 floors whooshed past. The plummeting force shook loose strands of white hair that whipped against her forehead. Tall, with a complexion pale as a fish, the girl looked much like the rest of her race. The Arisi had wide-set grey eyes and long, peaked ears that gave an expression of intelligent serenity. The girl looked out beyond her reflection suspended in the glass. The Arisi colony spread out before in a vast array of terraspheres and halodecks. Thousands of devoted scientists lived in these watertight domes set in orderly patterns of concentric circles. The domes provided housing, workstations, and recreation centres for the Arisi. Glass tunnels allowed for passage between buildings. The compound was suffused with an inner light that glowed softly, like a glass web spun across the abyss. The corridors were coloured with sapphire blue, violet, and pale yellow-green light. The hues of the subterranean maze played like high-frequency colour chords upon the mind, elevating perception and clarity. As the elevator dropped, so did the temperature. The girl's hands became chilled and she rubbed her palms together for warmth. The nautiline suit acclimatized the rest of her body, acting like a protective skin. The temperature of the lower floors was well below the level of human comfort, for it was here in this frigid environment where the robotic talisman were birthed from pools of liquid metal. The pyramid was a testament to the elegant design of the Arisi. Thermionic generators drew heat from volcanic shafts and made clean energy, leaving no footprint. There was no waste, no pollution, and no one laboured. Mechanized talisman kept this world flowing by serving the Arisi, who studied the mysteries of undersea life. But now, the watertight buildings appeared almost vacant. The inhabitants had fled, leaving the compound running with a skeleton crew. Suddenly, the elevator walls burst to life with media bulletins. A large talking head delivered a news update in a loud, clear voice. Against the onslaught of sound and images, the girl pushed sound buds into her ears to muffle the irritating news feed. Lids closed over pale grey eyes as she focused on the lyrics of the song. The media blitz continued with a rapid succession of overlapping stories.
The accelerator has overloaded. Disruptions in the magnetic field have led to instabilities in the core. Evacuation procedures have commenced.
Another broadcaster broke in. Cupping his hand to his ear, he reported,
"This just in. The generator has been pushed well beyond the limits of safety. Seismic activity has opened fissures across the ocean floor."
The third screen showed colonists moving about, but the image became scrambled as an alert sounded, warning that intruders had infiltrated the compound.